Welcome back. This is another episode of Books Closed. This episode is sponsored by Lucky Supply and River Valley Printing Co. I don't know what that intro was, but it sounded like a vampire. I guess it might be clear already that I'm here alone this week. I don't have a guest. And that's not to say the show is dying or that I'm losing steam after only 3 episodes. I thought it was time to explore the other side of the coin. The past few shows have been great, filled with experiences and stories of amazing tattooers. But there's a whole other world out there. There's things that I don't necessarily agree with, or things that I might not understand. And I suspect that a lot of you out there could feel the same way. And if you don't, then maybe your opinion can be represented here today. What a valiant concept, indeed. So to start off, I want to take a flashback to episode 2 with Todd Noble. At the end of the show, we played a game called Hip or Shit, where we looked at some insta-famous minimalism tattoos up against some scratcher tattoos to compare and contrast. Now, one of these insta-famous tattooers goes by the name of Autochrist, and this is a tattooer who is very bold in their style and in their attitude, or at least what they put out online. Sometimes it can be hard to tell who someone really is or what they're really all about. I found myself endlessly curious. Is this Autochrist someone who tattoos like this by choice, or is this truly a case of limited technical ability? I plan to get to the bottom of all of these questions, because right now, I'm going to call Autochrist.
Yeah, man.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, good.
Where are you at right now?
I'm in France, in Dijon.
So you're doing a guest spot?
Yeah.
Do you travel a lot for work?
Yeah, all the time, also for fun.
How should I, do you want me to just refer to you as Autochrist and all this, as opposed to your real name?
You call me Otto.
Otto, okay, great. How old are you?
I'm 27.
27, how long have you been tattooing for?
Like 5-6 years now.
Are you self-taught, or did you have an apprenticeship somewhere?
No, I just got the machine with a girlfriend and started on each other and seeing what came out good and, you know.
Yeah.
Just like that, drawing all my life, you know, so it was a natural.
Where did you grow up?
In Jerusalem.
Are there a lot of tattoo shops there?
There are a few, yeah. Yeah, we have our own shop.
In Jerusalem?
Yeah, but it's not the street front, you know, it's on the back. So it's only by appointment. It's no walking or anything.
So do you get most of your clientele from Instagram and internet stuff then?
Right now, yeah, traveling like that. Yeah, in Jerusalem, I have my crew. You know, we walk offline a lot, but traveling, yeah, mostly Instagram.
How would you describe the tattoos that you do?
The style, I don't know. It's just what I do. I don't know. There's no difference to me from tattoo or like drawing on people or on walls or canvas, you know, it's the same. So I don't see why why his tattoo has his own style, you know. You don't see tattoo style on the street. You don't see it on canvas. So why is it only on the skin?
Well, I think that there's certain styles that were developed through being tattooed. Like you can pinpoint traditional Japanese, you know, that's based on old woodblock prints and stuff. But I think a lot of the style as we know it, it was kind of made to be tattooed. So that might be a reason that is. And same thing with American traditional stuff that has that very distinct look.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was made for making the life of the tattooer easier and make it stay good and make it easy to put in the skin. But it doesn't have to do... Like today is super easy. Stencils are good, you know. It's not like it was. I don't know why they keep the style.
Yeah, I mean, you were definitely weren't seeing the more elaborate, you know, color realism and all that stuff in the 50s and earlier, because definitely the limit of the equipment and everything, I'm sure.
Exactly. So I'm saying it's like the same. Why keep the difference?
So is it an intentional desire to do something different with tattooing that motivates your style, or is it truly just because that's the way you've always drawn?
Both, I guess. mean, I do a lot of crazy stuff just to see if people would actually do it, and then they do. Some people come to me and want to have butterflies, so I'm drawing like a butterfly, and like, no, do it like crazy. So I was like, okay, do it crazy. I would
Yeah.
never expect anybody to do it, and then it's like, yeah. So it gave me kind of push to do whatever the fuck I want, and people would like it. Stupid, you know?
Yeah.
I know, stupid. I get the same, but I would never expect, like, I'm stupid.
So do you find that a lot of your clientele is very willing to go for it?
Yeah, lately, even more, they tell me just like, do whatever you want. I don't even want to know. Like, I don't want to even. But I like to think about with the customer. It's gonna be on him, and if he's not gonna like it, he's just gonna have bad, whatever, in his life, So I like to do it kind of together. If I just want to draw my own crazy shit, I do it on the wall, I don't need a guy, like. But if it's on somebody, it's cool to have it still a collaboration, even if it's just, what I mean.
Right. Yeah, I think it's always a collaboration with tattooing, regardless of style, for sure. Some more so than others, but do you draw your designs straight onto the skin before you tattoo them, or are you stenciling all that stuff?
I work in every kind of way. I always like to experiment in new ways, but mostly is I draw before on the paper and copy and stencil. But if I have a good connection with the guy, I'm really open to do whatever. I tattoo sometimes with my eyes closed.
With your eyes
Don't
closed?
care. Yeah, do whatever. Anything works.
That's a lot of trust.
I mean, I think the people's standards are really low these days. They don't give a fuck. So,
So what are you saying about your work then?
that is really not taking itself so seriously.
Yeah, so
And
is the looseness of your work, is that intentional? Are you just flying through this stuff and that's how you achieve the look that you get, or are you intentionally putting the looseness, the loose quality of the lines and placement and everything?
what do you mean? I think like it comes from the drawing and then the stencil, and I give myself always freedom also in the tattooing itself. Sometimes I don't pull the whole stencil, sometimes I do double stencil, and like I have fun in every. I try to have fun in every step of the way,
Right.
and you can see it through the tattoo. I guess if I had no fun, it didn't came out, and if it's not good, I'm not gonna have fun. It's kind of a revolver on itself.
Yeah. So I guess what is your criteria for a good tattoo then? What do you strive for as you're drawing and tattooing?
Lately I realized that meaning is the most important. It doesn't have to have a visual meaning, but just the it marks it's a mark, it's a stain on the body, and it's like it reminds you of something. I have like tattoos that I hate on myself just because I did them not in a comfortable situation and just like, okay, whatever. And I have tattoos that came out horrible, and I love them just because it was a good experience and good reminds me of good stuff. And
Yeah, so you put a lot of value into the experience then and the meaning over everything.
I think this way in real life, not really. I just when you have 12 tattoos a day, you cannot really get your heart in every tattoo. So but still, if I could, I did choose to kind of lay back a bit these days. I try to tattoo as less as possible just to get some money in my pocket. But really, I just want to go on the beach and have fun in life, because tattooing is really boring for me lately. It's just in the studio all day, breaking your back, dealing with people, touching ugly bodies. Using your hand, like fucking dealing with money, dealing with I don't know. So I really choose my clients carefully, and also trying to have fun. I did a machine. I built a new machine on battery, so I can tattoo on the beach. I don't need the electricity. Tattooing myself on the train, on the bus.
As far as the tattoos that you have on yourself, do you have a lot of the style that you work in as well, or do you have other stuff?
I have many different stuff because I meet people and I have a lot of first time tattoos I give people to try, I think people would not give me to do my first tattoo. Who knows, like, where would I be, you know? You have to trust people blindly if you trust them, if you know there is a potential. I have the drive to cover my body entirely, and I give to people who know how to do. So I have many different styles in my body.
Do you work in other style? Like, do you do tattoos in other styles other than what you put out online, or is that solely your focus?
No, I don't do anything else like in tattoo.
Yeah.
I do experiment, but yeah, it's always the same thing. Like, I don't have other stuff.
You have any interest in developing into other styles at all in the future?
Right now, I don't know. Well, I mean, I'm always open to whatever comes, but right now I don't have the desire to do something else.
Yeah.
I mean, more details, more technique, it really don't interest me. I don't think evolving technically is something I want. Yeah.
Okay, so as far as your internet following, did you accumulate that your following on Instagram quickly, or did that come over time?
It kind of exploded, you know. Big pages share your stuff, so you get up fast, you know.
Yeah.
Also, traveling really is one key, because also in real life you meet people and they tell their friends, and tattoo works like that. I guess in offline, tattoo is offline. You meet shops, they help you to book, they advertise you, the other people help you. It's all about connecting people in real life, and I think it will happen naturally if you do good stuff, I guess.
What's the general reaction to your work that you see online? Is it mixed, or is it a lot of positive?
I had like when it came up, really, I had a lot of hate. I was receiving hate mails every day, like, gonna kill you, I'm gonna fucking, I wish you were dead, like, fuck you, all these hate mails. But all these hate mails, you know, it just gave me more power, because I was looking at the people who wrote them, and I was like, oh my God, it's so good that he hates myself.
So you like that? You like the negative attention at times.
I mean, I would prefer not to have it, but it makes me happy, like, you know, it's kind of make me happy. But recently I don't get it so much. More and more people are just like, they like it, and they say, they like tell me to come to places, and yeah.
Yeah. It's hard for people to digest sometimes because it can be so different from what they like, or as far as other tattooers, it's so different from what they might aspire to as far as the work that they do. So I think it's hard to identify with something so different.
Yeah, I guess.
Do you feel that way when you see other work that might be more mainstream, I guess, or more generally accepted? What is your reaction to like an American traditional chest eagle? Like, how do you feel about a tattoo like that?
You know, there's good stuff and bad stuff and everything, I guess. Some of them I really like, you
If it's like a well done eagle chess piece, like
know.
solid bold, like how do you feel about that? What does that do for you?
I know that still there's good stuff and bad stuff. Like, sometimes I see an eagle and I say, boom, you know, it's so good, I would have it. But sometimes I see an eagle and I say, oh my God, it's so stupid, it's so bad. Why the fuck would you do that?
Well, what makes a
Like,
bad
everybody.
tattoo in your eyes? What makes it bad?
Oh, there's so much. So much.
Like the quality, or
I guess, you know, every time you see a tattoo, you try to imagine the guy having it and the guy who did it. And sometimes you just see that there's a bad background to it. And sometimes you just see that it's real. You just see it. You see through. You just feel it. Just feel it. But when I see a badly done, like, for my eyes, badly done, I just have a laugh and continue. I never send like, oh, this is so bad. Because, you know, there's no point in putting bad energy to something, even if you don't understand.
right. I can agree with that for sure. I think people get caught up in stuff sometimes, and in the end, it's all just tattoos. So for someone to say that you should die for doing tattoos that they don't like, I agree with you. It's a little extreme. Because variety is the spice of life, after all, am I right?
Yeah, man. It's what life is all about, a surprise, which you would never expect.
Who are some of your favorite tattooers?
Beijing for sure, SOT. Varias. There's this one new guy I just saw. He's fucking amazing. I forgot the name. I don't remember the fucking good. There's Dominic, fucking amazing. Violent Moon. Of course, my friends, you know, David Disse, Savadio, all this crew. Big up to them. Try to not look so much in tattoos, you know, try to pick up inspiration in other places.
Yeah.
Performance, really into performance. Yeah, that's where I started actually. Was more performance.
Like
I don't know how
tattooing
to.
as a performance art is what you mean?
No, this is boring, but what really moves me is performance. Yeah, I think it's the most fit kind of art to the human body, I guess. And tattooing is really bad for your body, I guess, for the tattooer. Just no sun, just focusing and full of disease. It's like so many materials and stuff you need to get, and your body really doesn't like it, I guess.
Well, I think there's ways that you can balance out your work day with how you take care of yourself as far as exercise and health and how you eat and everything. I think that you can find the
Exactly, yeah, but
balance.
yeah, exactly. You have to find a balance. You have to balance it to the other way. But imagine, like, if you would not have to balance it, you would be there. It's still cool. I'm in love with the outcome, you know. I'm in love with the tattoo. I have nothing bad to say.
I mean, that's true of any job, though. Every job is going to have its physical downfalls, whether you're sitting at a desk all day or if you're working in a coal mine or something. You know, it's gonna fuck you up one way or
Yeah,
another.
exactly.
Did you have other jobs that you did before tattooing?
I was selling drugs and working construction, stuff like that, random. I was never too much work. I was even before tattooing, I was living just without money. And just when I was starting tattooing, I did it not for money. I was just doing it. I would not accept cash even. I was really living 2 years with no one cent in my pocket, and I really believe this is the way because I had so many people suddenly wanting to get a tattoo. I started charging because I had to spend materials and drive and stuff like that and sleeping places. So it kind of sucked me in, the money aspect of it.
I think that's true for a lot of tattooers. I think when we start, a
Yeah,
lot
and
of time,
now.
we're all making more money than we've ever made at first. You know, it feels
Yeah.
crazy. So that's definitely can be a draw. And I don't think there's necessarily a negative thing about that.
No, it's not negative, but I'm just saying in my past I was living without the money, and now I'm a kind of now I'm doing it a lot for the money,
Right.
and it kind of it's like you go to school, so of like the art school, you're in love with art, and you suddenly get into school and it becomes your work, and you lose your fun in it. Kind of happened to me with tattoos.
Yeah.
I mean, I could not complain, you know. There's nothing. Could not complain. I'm lucky to have this doing what I want and getting paid for it. But just to say that life without money is better sometimes.
Yeah.
Was better for me at the time.
Yeah, it's an interesting comparison for sure. I want to get more, I guess, more in-depth insight for how you prepare for tattoos. Like, are you spending a lot of time doing these drawings, or are they pretty quick?
I make like 10,000 drawing in 1 day, and then I don't draw for the rest of the year. I don't know, it kind of just like hits me and I have to draw, and I do it. A lot of time happens when I'm bored alone. Like most of the flesh you see was made in, I was in prison in Switzerland a month and a half, so I was drawing just all day, every day, because there was nothing else I could do. And I guess I got in the mantra, in the loop of the, it's like your body, your mind needs to get started. You need to draw a lot of trash till you have a good idea.
Right. Yeah, they can't all be good.
It's like everything, like your sport, you know, you have to suffer a lot till you can enjoy it. Like sex, like alcohol. You need to work a lot till you can master it.
Do you see yourself tattooing for a long time or forever? Or do you think that you're fizzling out a little bit? Because it sounds like you're not enjoying it as much currently.
Yeah, I mean, I just have to take some fresh air and come back with and more energy to it. I mean, I don't know. I think what I do, I will always do. I mean, since I'm a kid, I'm drawing, so it will just keep on like that. I don't know. I don't think stuff gonna change.
Yeah.
But I'm just gonna have to find my my fresh air in this and come back.
Do you think that if you were to put more focus and more effort into maybe developing, either technically or style wise, do you think that could light a fire under you? Are you fully set in staying where you're at stylistically?
No, I'm always looking for new stuff, but technically, I'm really not interesting. Like, I see some tattoos that some like took 6 hours, you know, full details, and I'm like, okay, yeah, it doesn't really impress me technically. So I don't see a point in working so hard on details and stuff. I don't like the outcome. I could really enjoy it, yeah, totally, but I did some big work that I really got into and I really enjoyed it, but the outcome really doesn't, I can see a 5 minute tattoo and 5 hours tattoo and I would be like, boom, the 5 minutes, so much better.
Do you think that's because smaller, I mean, I've said it on some previous episodes that just smaller, more simple work is a lot more striking as far as the internet goes, because you can really see the whole thing in one shot. Whereas if you see a full back piece or something and that little square that you scroll by on your phone, it doesn't have the same impact that it probably deserves.
No, I think it's also offline work like that for me. I guess it's a point. Yeah, you're right. It's more, has to be more communicative to get more likes. It's sad, very sad.
Yeah.
But
how much do you value that? Like the likes and stuff. Does that motivate how you work or when you work or anything like that?
I mean, it motivates me to be more involved in social media, and I don't like it. I try to really avoid it as much as possible. I don't like it. I try to give it as little place in my life as possible. I don't really, I have much work from it. Yeah, but so I post like more if I'm going somewhere. I put more energy. I put more. I want to get more tattoos done wherever I go sometime to get some money.
Yeah, I guess in closing, I just, as far as your attitude towards tattooing and everything, I hope that you can find what you're looking for in all this. You know what I mean? And that's true for anyone. Because when it comes down to it, I mean, not just tattooing, anything in life, but since we're talking about tattooing, it's what you make of it, really. And if it's fueling your life, and if you have customers that are happy with it, I think that that's an okay thing. You know, despite the fact that maybe, you know, some one person's work doesn't do it for everyone, but that's going to be true for any style, any person, any artist, anywhere. So,
yeah, man.
Yeah, but I also know that you need to love tattooing, and the only way that I can get through the day working is you have to love the actual process of it. So, I hope that you come back around and find that, and it can motivate you, like it does for me.
I hope. Yeah, I used to have it, and I really don't find it anymore.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's always selling drugs, huh? All right, my man. Well, I really appreciate you talking to me and providing a different point of view on this topic. It was cool of you to give me a call today.
Yeah, thanks for coming through, man.
Yeah. Do you have anything that you want to add or anything that you want to say to the haters?
Fuck you, haters.
Oh, shit.
Nah, I mean, your haters can hate. I love you.
Also, one thing, if people want to find your stuff online, how do they do that?
Go Instagram, Autocross, motherfucker, pow, pow, pow.
Well, in a lot of ways, that was what I expected. And in some ways, I'm coming out of that conversation feeling a little bit differently about Autocross. All tattooers, we're all just chasing the good life. And that's the way that he chooses to go about it. A nice guy, good sense of humor, doesn't take the work very seriously. Which makes sense when you look at it. This episode is sponsored by our friends over at Lucky Supply, offering the highest quality in all the products you need to sling your tats. From shop supplies, disposable stuff, ink, reference materials, they got it all. But also, they can make one hell of a tattoo machine. On LuckySupply.com, you can find quite an offering of machines from some of the best machine builders, as well as Lucky's own in-house made machines. One-offs to custom orders, these Tat Cats will blast your brains, and they'll also do a nice tattoo. So if you're still on the quest to find that perfect liner or that perfect shader or both, look to Lucky Supply. And I assure you, if you can't find it there, it's probably not in existence. LuckySupply.com. This week, we're also sponsored by River Valley Printing Co., who, as you know by now, offers highest quality Giclée prints, pins, and stickers for all your tat shop needs. Don't miss an opportunity to butter up your clients even further. Give them some stickers, because otherwise they might Yelp your ass into oblivion. Hit up River Valley Printing Co. on Instagram under the same name or rivervalleyprintingco.com. And make sure, when dealing with both of our sponsors, that you let them know you heard about them on the best tattoo-related podcast made in Maine and or New Hampshire. On Instagram, there's a page called How to Not Get Tattooed that has gained a lot of popularity. It's a collection of tattooer-submitted messages, emails, interactions with their customers that they have deemed clueless or annoying, etc. And they get posted on the page, and the comment section turns into debates or flame wars or whatever it may be. And a lot of the times I feel that it ends up with the blind further leading the blind, with not tattooers telling other people how tattooing should be. And it just feels a little weird to me. Certainly none of the humor of the page is lost on me. I think there's a lot of stuff that's hilarious, and I certainly relate to personally as a tattooer myself. Overall, I feel just a large lack of professionalism that I think needs to be retained in tattooing as far as how we deal with our customers. If we train our customers to fear us and to feel that we are not approachable because we're just going to judge them instantly, then I think it sets a dangerous precedent for the future of tattooing. The page is run anonymously by a tattooer, and I figured the best thing to do is to learn a little bit more about the beginnings of the page, the intent of the page, and where it's going to be going in the future. So I'm going to call this mysterious motherfucker and see what he thinks. All right, so I'm here now talking to How to Not Get Tattooed, Instagram's sweetheart.
Hello.
How would you describe this Instagram page?
I guess the best way to describe it would be it's a culmination and collection of texts, DMs, emails, handwritten notes, drawings, all the absurdity that clients send to tattoo artists on a daily basis.
What was your motivation for starting the page? Had you received stuff like this in your own experiences?
Yeah, I've been tattooing about almost 15 years now, and it's gotten to a point where I log into my emails or my Facebook and Instagram, and every day there's just some sort of absurdity going on, and it was getting to the point where I couldn't rant on Facebook without losing clients, because everybody took it personal, what I was complaining about or whatever, even if it didn't apply to them. So I needed a way to anonymously like vent, and also I looked at it as a way to educate people in order to be like, don't be this idiot.
Right, right. How quickly did it pick up momentum after you started the page?
I started the page, and it took about 2 months before it just like went insane. And big credit to that goes to another Instagram page called Dank Tattoo Memes. Those guys reposted one of my conversations that I had posted. And it just snowballed, and I woke up one morning and I had like 7,000-8,000 followers out of nowhere before I went to bed with like 200.
Wow.
Right before they reposted, I was almost about to shut the page down because, like I said, it was started with my own messages and like friends and coworkers that I had worked with that I felt like I could trust to send me things that we wouldn't like throw each other under the bus kind of thing. And we were running out of content because people like – I guess like a few like people had seen it and it started to kind of get around. And so we started getting less stupid messages. And I was like, well, I guess that's it. Like I can post randomly from time to time, but I didn't have the kind of content to post every day, let alone multiple times a day.
Right.
And then Dank Tattoo Memes reposted me and I woke up to like 90 messages in my inbox. And it's been that way every morning for basically the last almost year now.
Damn.
Yeah.
How do you keep up with it? Is it, I mean, what do you even get out of it to spend that much time on it?
It's really hard. I usually only try to check the inbox about once, maybe twice a day. Usually when I wake up, I'm having my coffee. And then it's hard for me to sleep at night. I have like kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so while my kids are up being crazy, it's kind of like my little chill down thing at the end of the night is I go through the messages. The nice thing is a lot of people don't really expect a response. So I don't have to like actually engage or type with people. The heart button is the greatest thing on Instagram ever. and then also about out of like, let's say if I get 90 messages a day, only about maybe 10 or 15 of them are things that are worthy to post. A lot of it is stuff that's like gone viral on Reddit and I've already been sent it 700 times by people. Or it's the same tattooer sending me things because he's pissed off at this one client and the client's not horrible and the tattooer is honestly kind of being a douchebag. And I'm like, I'm not going to like, you look like an asshole. I'm not going to post this. This isn't funny.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. In your memory, what's the worst, one of the more, I guess, more memorable things that you've posted as far as something that was really crazy or something that just stood out as far worse than the rest?
Nothing. I mean, obviously I get a buttload of dick pics sent to me, like from female tattooers that are like, please put this up. But unfortunately, Instagram takes those down within 5 minutes.
Yeah, like pictures that they were sent?
Yeah, like some dude will be like, hey, I want to get together for a consult and, you know, and talk about this sleeve I want to do. And then the next picture is just a giant, unerect penis.
Well, that's one way to go about it, I guess.
Yeah, and like I post those all the time, but Instagram pulls them. Those ones are always, I think, the craziest.
Yeah, that's
especially
pretty crazy.
Because they're not up long, but like they'll get like 3,000 likes, 100 something comments on them, like so quick before they're gone.
Yeah.
It's like, it's gotten to the point where I can't even read comments on most of the posts because it's so insane.
Right.
And then the other crazy one was one that was literally just posted a few days ago that blew up. I called out a thief, a guy who had walked out. It's something I've done before. This one, I had a little bit more information. I actually had the person's physical name, and I called him out on Instagram. They walked out of a tattoo shop in Australia with a $200-$300 tattoo, didn't pay the artist, and then proceeded to threaten the artist on Facebook, along with threatening their child and their husband. And I was like, this guy needs to get called out so that other shops don't tattoo him because he's clearly not mentally stable. Well, turns out, I didn't know this when I posted it, he was trans. So that became the whole subject in the comment section. He's posting on his page because he was one of the rare people when I've called someone out that didn't block me and started tagging me and all this stuff of him showing like $2,000 in money and posting like, this is for my haters and like pictures of Zanny bars. And he's like, I do what I want. He posted his mugshot for arson. Like he was definitely not being bullied. Like he was loving it, but everybody was like attacking me and giving me hate mail because I called out a guy who walked out on a tattoo and threatened a baby.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's a Jesus. I don't envy your position in a situation like that. I feel like you can't win because nobody is actually discussing it when these topics are coming up. Everyone's just saying their opinion and then just repeating and repeating and repeating and there will never be progress made.
It's definitely like a touchy subject. I mean,
yeah, it's tough.
Like I kind of have to be like a seal or a dolphin and just let it roll off my back. And that's kind of the only way the page functions. If I were to take everything people say to me personally, then it wouldn't work, you know?
Yeah. So do you think that if you didn't run the page anonymously, that you would really catch a lot of heat from it?
Oh, definitely. I have a lot of people that message me every day that are like, oh, like clearly you're a tattooer. I would love to see your work. And it's hard not to because obviously like there's a lot of followers on that page. And I'm like, well, this could be great for business. I could get a lot of really dope clients and it'd be super cool. But at the same time, like then all those people that send me anonymous hate mail and write into the email box for the page or into my DMs that I can easily just block on Instagram, they would then probably more than likely start calling my shop, harassing my coworkers. And that's something I don't want to bring upon the people that I work with because that's not their position to be in.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. I can definitely attest to when the internet starts to pour into real life as far as responses and stuff to videos that I've done in the past. not really a lot of negative stuff, but I made one video where I talked about an air pressured tattoo machine that there's no pain and there's no needle or whatever. And people,
that was a good one.
Yeah. People were very excited by the idea of a painless tattoo process. So people were calling our shop for sure. And they were curious as to why they couldn't make appointments and fly in from wherever they were coming from. When people will write these heinous comments or send hate messages and DMs or whatever, that they're almost assuming that you're not even going to read it, because when you've got a page that big, it's almost like you're not even a person anymore. So when you get a response, it like shakes their whole thing up.
Yeah. I know a lot of people too. I know there's a good amount of people, obviously after this, their mind will more than likely know that it's one person, but I know there's a bunch of people that are convinced that I'm a collective, like Anonymous, that it's like 30 tattooers that we're all just logging in at different times and posting like shit because of how much I stay up on the page. And like, I do sometimes write back to people on messages if I'm, you know, bored or there's an interesting message to respond to.
Yeah.
You know, I also have a lot of like pre-typed out things that answer a lot of questions I get that are the same over and over again.
Yep.
Like I get asked almost daily how to get an apprenticeship so that they're not a scratcher, because they really want to learn how to tattoo. And I have like this like two Instagram messages, because it only lets you type so much.
Yeah.
But what you need to do is like go to a shop, get tattooed, build a relationship, draw and paint, offer to clean up, answer phones, work events, like all the stuff that like got me my apprenticeship and my coworkers, like how we got into the industry. I'm like, here you go. Like, it's not a top secret thing. Like, put in the work and you'll be rewarded.
Right. And also, if they send a picture of their dick to someone, that could get them somewhere probably.
Yeah, you know, maybe.
What a unique position to be in as a human, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a thing. Like, I have an album on my phone of like 600 pending posts, and it's definitely like it's a hidden album on my phone, because if my kids get on my phone, the last thing that I need them to see is a bunch of penises,
right,
and lewd boob shots, because I get it from women too. Women send dudes a lot of nasty stuff, I've learned. Not something I thought was going to happen mm-hmm. when I started the page, but
yeah.
Dude tattooers have sent me pictures of women's breasts and spread eagle. And things that we all also don't want to see, the same as women don't want to see a dick pic in their mailbox. And it's just interesting, that social dynamic, that it goes both ways.
Right, right. It's a whole world that I just feel like I'm not even part of.
I know, I kind of feel left out. In my own personal life, no one's ever sent me like a dick pic to get tattooed.
Right.
Like,
yeah, so you start
no
to
one
think,
even
what's
me if I wanted to tattoo their dick? I'm kind of offended, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think I've
Am
ever
not
gotten
good enough
that...
to tattoo a penis.
Right. Right. I mean, maybe there's people that specialize in that, so they soak up all that kind of work. Who knows?
Yeah. I think it's just if you're a cute girl on the internet who happens to tattoo, unfortunately, I think people look past whatever your skill set is and they go right for the sexual advance, unfortunately, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's such a weird thing to me, but I guess that sums up a lot of interactions that men and women can have, where women will experience a lot of unwanted attention, or at least attention in ways that aren't going to make any progress for the guy or whoever that's putting it out there. So I guess it's just clueless guys not knowing what the fuck to do.
Yeah. I work with three women as well, and I talked to them about it a while ago, and they were saying that they think part of it is the guy gets off on knowing that the girl is grossed out by what they were sent, that it's a whole like weird cat and mouse game. They're like, almost if you engage with them after they sent the pic, that it's no fun for them anymore. Like, their whole thing is that they want to get blocked. They want to get told, fuck you. Like, they want to be abused. So they send this thing in order to get called all these names and get stomped on, I guess.
That's some dark shit right there.
Yeah, that's what they were telling me. They're like, it's definitely like the internet's a weird place to navigate.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
as a woman.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And I think that's something that I'll be able to cover in future episodes with some experiences of some female tattooers, but that's for another day.
Yeah, they definitely, I'm sure, have a whole different outlook than you and me do to the tattoo industry.
Yeah,
just
for sure.
Tattooing alone, you know.
Right.
So
as the page progresses, and the longer that you know, the more of the stuff that you see, do you feel like, how is it affecting you?
It's making me really, really appreciative for my clients. like, not gonna lie, like, the things, like, if you go very back to the beginning of the post, like, to the beginning of the page, those messages are from me and other people in my shop. Like, that's how content was created, by personal experience. And you go back and read some of those first, like, maybe 15, 20 posts, they are not bad at all. It's like somebody not listening. Like, for example, someone's like, how much for a tattoo? And you go, well, I need to know what you're looking to get and roughly the size and where you want to put it. And then they go, so, like, how much? You know, like, those are like the old posts. And I'm like, it's frustrating. It's not the worst thing. It's not a penis. It's not a tattoo thief. It's not somebody trying to steal my art, you know? So yeah. In the way, it makes me really appreciative of, like, even when I do get little bits of crazy still in my mailbox, they're so microscopic compared to some of the crazy that people send me that I'm thankful for it now.
Yeah. Sometimes it feels like, it can almost be like a cesspool of negativity. If I'm scrolling down and I see a bunch of the posts from your page, sometimes it can have the opposite effect for me. I know. And that's why I've been conflicted over how I feel about the page at times, because it's one thing. I see the value of venting as tattooers. It's something that we all do. It's something that, you know, these are all discussions that we have in the shop all the time. At times, I feel like maybe some of this stuff isn't for public consumption.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you on that. When I first started the page, originally my plan was to make it private and only, like, vet through, like, actual tattoo artists. And like I said, like, it started off slow. It was all, like, tattooers that started following me. And then overnight it blew up before I could basically figure out a way to wrangle it and make it private. And now it's gotten to a point that, like, it would be so much work for me to go through everybody who follows me profile and find out if they're, like, a professional tattooer or if they're, like, a collector or, like, you know, like, all of that. And it's definitely like that's kind of like the biggest daily burden I have, because I do go through the comments from time to time and I see people who aren't in the industry arguing two different sides. And I'm like, neither of you have an opinion in this situation, because neither of you know at all what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what kind of irks me a lot of the time too. And personally, one of my biggest motivations when I first started making videos and doing whatever that I do on the internet, it was motivated by specifically YouTube, how I felt like a lot of the voice of people talking about and making videos about tattoos were not tattooers at all. And so all of the information, people were just seeking it from other people who didn't really know necessarily what they were talking about. And it was like a lot of commentary channels, and the comments were just full of prospective tattoo clients that were just getting advice from these people that all they know are what they've soaked in from the few tattoos that they get. And I just thought that was very weird. So I liked the idea of having some tattoo media that was actually made by tattooers and can reflect real, you know, what really goes on in tattooing.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's still like my still hope with the page. And why, like, I keep posting and stuff. And it's almost why I've stopped, for the most part, writing captions on the photos, is I feel like if you read a post from my page and you don't understand why it's on that page, then message me or write a comment, and more than likely someone will respond with the proper answer of why it's on that page. But if you get it, why it's on that page, then you're already on the right track to not being one of those customers. You know, like, that's how I look at it, as like an educational tool, even though it's become a place for people to argue and be toxic. And I try to filter that out as much as I can. And I try to go through and block people when they get out of hand or they're irrelevant to the page. But it is a lot of work. And it's, you know, with tattooing full time and having a family and managing my own business and my own accounts, it definitely does, like, take a time and take a wear on me, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a full-time job in itself to manage a social media account of that size. How many followers does that page have?
I think it's at 120K now.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's a lot to manage.
And I don't make a dime off of it. That's the crazy thing. Like, people always try to throw, because I when I first started, I put shirts up of funny things that people had written in the emails, and I still have them up for sale and stuff. But honestly, like, nobody really buys them. And when they do, they're pretty much at cost. It's more just to, like, be funny and like kind of like how Sucky Tattoo sells like the Sucky Tiger shirt, the Sucky Panther. Like they're just like funny, like to me. Like it's not anything that's like paying my bills. Right. Like, this page is all 100% my free time, my charity to the world in a way of like, this is what I do and it manages my phone 100% of my day. So, you know, it is definitely like a second job that I don't get paid for at all.
Right, right. So as far as looking at it like an educational tool, do you ever feel like it could do the opposite sometimes and make people more scared to approach tattoo shops or tattoo artists when they're looking to get some work done or just give them a negative portrayal of tattooers as we all vent publicly?
I feel like there's maybe been a few times for that. I've definitely got a couple messages from people that were like, hey, before like I found your page, like I didn't know how to talk to tattoo artists. And now I'm really worried about like becoming someone that gets posted on your page. What should I do? And when people ask me that, like I'm very upfront and honest with them. I'm like, hey, it's really easy. Like if your shop is local, go in there, talk to the artist in person. Bring reference pictures, talk about what you want to do, be specific with them because that's the time when like they're writing notes, they can make references for their drawings, book an appointment, leave a deposit and show up for your appointment. I was like, it's not rocket science. And almost every one of those people that's messaged me has written me back a month or two later and they've been like, oh my gosh, I got my tattoo. It was so easy. It was an amazing process. Thank you so much for helping me. I don't feel like an idiot anymore, you know? And that's the thing, like I try, because I do try to go through all the messages every day. If someone asks me a genuine question, I usually try to respond if I can with an answer.
Yeah, you've turned into a personal tat consultant.
Yeah.
You got to start charging a retainer.
I should start charging a deposit. But then I'll just be one of those assholes I call out on my page for becoming a middleman to booking tattoo appointments.
Right, right. Yeah, you see those ads pop up?
Yeah, I know. I've posted them multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah, those are great. Yeah. To me, this all just sounds so exhausting. Do you ever get tired? Yeah. Do you get tired of this page or just what, you know, what comes with it?
Sometimes. I try not to post like on like one of my days off a week. So that's why sometimes the page will go quiet. But like if I'm at home, you know, like I said, it's usually morning or night. And then between like tattoo appointments, if I can, you know, that's why I have a photo gallery. Everything's kind of, you know, saved. If it's not easily cropped to Instagram, then it doesn't get posted if I don't have a couple minutes to crop it or edit a name out, you know. So it's definitely like a weird system, and I don't know. I'm still kind of figuring out a groove for it.
So what's the goal? Like what's your end game at this point?
I don't really have one. I mean, I don't really know what my end game is. At this point, it's fun to do it, and it's fun to post, and it's fun to pop into the comments. But on other days, I've debated when I get my inbox full of hate mail for calling out a tattoo thief. There's days where I'm like, well, I hope Instagram just shuts the page down and I don't have to do it myself.
Because I've seen on some occasions, I think they're probably on your story or something. I can sense a lot of frustration in your posts, you know, even though you're not doing a lot of heavy captions and stuff, but just the response to, you know, a post that gets more attention or gets maybe more negativity than the typical day. I can sense a lot of frustration, and it really made me curious as to what, you know, what you really get out of it, because you can focus on the educational aspect and what you described, with DMs and that's awesome. I don't think anyone would dispute that, but it seems like there's so much negativity that comes with it that I know I couldn't do it. I couldn't handle manning that page because I think it would just really bring me down.
So, yeah. And like, I don't know, maybe I'm wired weird. But like for me, most of the time with the page, I post it and that's the negative bullshit I have to deal with for the day. And in a way, it's almost like me like releasing the doves into the wild. I'm like, well, I put the post on the internet. Everybody else can deal with it. I'm going to go have a great day, do a fun tattoo, hang out with people I like, drink some coffee, have fun. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I used to be a lot more of an angry person. I feel personally, and even my wife has noticed since I started How to Not, like I don't come home at the end of the day and I'm not like these fucking people and these messages and I just and like throwing my phone across the room. Like usually I come home and I'm in a good mood because I got all my venting out on the internet anonymously without people like attacking me personally or bringing my kids into it or my business. And then I get to come home at the end of the day and unload, and it's not, you know, like, because a lot of this negativity doesn't affect me personally. It's, you know, it's just the internet. That's why I try not to take it too personally. I do get frustrated, like, when my post gets big. And like how you said in my story, sometimes, like, I'll post. And it's more the frustration of, like, I can't believe so much stupid exists in the world. And, like, I almost feel sorry for, like, future generations. And also that, like, my phone won't stop vibrating. Like, I had to turn off the post notifications on Instagram, like, 2 months ago because my phone would just vibrate all night. And it got to the point where I was like, I can't – I'm just going to turn it off. If I check the page and I see there's messages, cool. If I don't check the page, then I don't know there's messages and I don't have to stress about it.
I can definitely see how it can be a release for you, like you described, or how it's kind of turned this negative thing, you know, a negative aspect of the job to a positive thing. Because for you, now you're seeking these things. Now, these are your currency. You know, this is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. So it makes perfect sense that you're not going to be as frustrated maybe about some of the things that you read as much as you're going to be like, hell yeah, I can't wait to post this on the page whenever it comes up.
And like I said, it's made me like 1,000% more appreciative for the amazing clientele that I've been able to groom over 15 years. Like the things that like got me upset about like stupid little things don't bug me anymore. Like, because like I see that some tattooers have it way worse than me. And I'm just grateful that like I get to talk to cool people and do cool tattoos. And I really don't have to deal with the majority of like the kind of crazy, especially now that like is getting posted on How to Not. You know, like I said, like the older posts were so much like tamer compared to like the things I post now. And that's because like they weren't really that bad. It was more just I've had a bad day and I'm frustrated and I want to talk some shit on the internet to post it to Facebook because everybody else gets to vent on Facebook. But when I do it, my clients get mad and then they don't want to get tattooed and then they yell at my boss and then I get yelled at. So I was like, I need an anonymous place to just post stuff. And that's how it started. And then now it's become like almost that. I feel like it's also that now for the tattooers that submit stuff to me. They're like, hey, here's this crazy batshit person I've had to deal with for 3 years. Here's a conversation that spans, you know, 2 weeks. And this alone, I've been dealing with this for 3 years. Here's 2 weeks of it. And I post it and they're like, oh, thank God it's out there.
So before you had this anonymous way to just dump your troubles, so to speak. I mean, if you had posted something and it got a negative reaction back when it was still connected to you personally, would you regret having posted that? Or would you feel bad for the people that maybe you said something about and they saw it?
It wasn't even that I felt bad for the people that said something about it. It would be more like, why is everybody taking this personally? It's not directed to any of you. Like this is about one specific person. And more than 9 out of 10 times, whoever I was ranting about on Facebook wasn't on my Facebook friends, because I keep that to close, like, personal friends and really good clients. And I had some clients that just like would, I felt like they were almost looking for a reason to be drama, and they would like read into a post and they would be like, well, clearly that's about me.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. You know, it's always, you're always toeing the line because people do take it personally because their tattoos are very personally significant to them.
Yeah. And I totally understood that. And that's why I was like, well, I can't post these opinions on Facebook anymore, because clearly people are reading into them what isn't there.
So other than the fact that it's now anonymous, then what's the difference then? It still has the potential to hurt people. And now with the higher visibility of that page, since it's got such a huge following. It's dangerous. I feel like it's almost like a weapon in a way, you know, for people that do take things personally like that.
I mean, I can definitely see that. That's why I try to steer away from posts where the tattooers are almost mocking the person texting them for what they want to get done. I don't think those posts are good. I totally agree with you. They're definitely going to make people self-conscious about what they want to get tattooed. I try lately, like, it's been a lot of posts about like, don't get tattooed by scratchers. Like, here's a disgusting photo. Tell me everything that's wrong with this picture. Because if you can't figure out why this guy tattooing barefoot with a dog turd next to him in a hoarder's house with no gloves on is wrong, then you should figure out what kind of tattooing you want to be a part of. Yeah. And then the other posts are more like etiquette posts is more like what I've like shifted towards, where it's like, someone will send 300 reference photos to an artist and then be like, so like $50, right? And it's like, no, that's not how this works. you know.
Yeah. I've noticed that there's been a shift of the kind of stuff that you've posted. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. And that's, you know, the learning curve of me doing this page. Like,
sure.
It's only been up for, you know, barely, maybe, I think January is when I put it up. So not even a full year. And it's blown up so quick that I didn't have a plan when I started the page. And I've had to kind of create one and almost like re-navigate a river as it's flowing, if that makes sense.
Right.
Have you
put any thought into how you could maybe turn this attention into something positive for yourself? Like actually get something out of putting all the work into this?
No, because I mean, at the end of the day, like I don't, like I said, like it would be cool to like cash in on the amount of followers. But at the same time, like I know because I started tattooing before social media was a thing. I know that Instagram followers don't equate how busy you stay. Like I'm a steady tattooer. I pay my bills. I live okay. My family doesn't starve. We're well fed. I don't need the extra attention. I'm not, you know, some 4-year, 5-year tattooer that's like, man, what I would kill to have 120K followers on my Instagram. I'm like, you know what? My clients are regular. They come, they find me, they know where I work. I don't need that, I guess, you know? Like, I don't need that validation in a way. Like, it's cool that people like ask me and they're like, hey, you seem to like know a lot about tattoo industry and like how things work. Like, it'd be cool to see your work. And I'm like, yeah, I appreciate the compliment, but I prefer to stay anonymous. And every one of those people is like, hey man, I get it. I totally understand.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, I don't think anyone would fault you for that. Cause it's pretty clear what would happen for sure.
Yeah. You know, and like I said, like I don't believe in picking on people for what they want to get tattooed. That's definitely not at all what the page is about. That's why it's more like, that's why it's called how to not get tattooed, not what to not get tattooed. Like I tattoo walk-ins and Pinterest stuff all day. It's part of what comes with working in a street shop. You know, yep. I've been tattooing 15 years. I tattooed right when Pinterest became a thing and everybody thought it was cool to get dream catchers and the words let it be. Guess what? My kids got to eat. I do those tattoos. I've got no problem with that, you know? And so that's why I feel like the page, like I do my best to never post something that picks on someone for getting something that they want to get done. It's more the general like assholiness of like naming your own price or like trying to steal someone else's tattoo or, and like part of it is like, I also do have like old school tattoo ethics. Like you don't tattoo hands and necks on an 18-year-old. Like you just don't do that, you know? You don't do face tattoos on someone that doesn't have sleeves, you know?
It's interesting because the same backlash that you avoid for yourself, and rightfully so, I feel like can be the same kind of backlash that someone is experiencing from a post on your page. So it's an interesting thing to me, the two sides of it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like prime example would be like that trans post with the tattoo thief. Like I put his name on blast. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. I feel like I'm in a weird place on that topic, but like I think he deserved to be called out for stealing, especially when it turns out he had admitted to stealing from a tattoo art parlor in his own hometown. He'd been arrested for arson. Like he has a troubled past. And I was like, I don't want other tattooers to deal with this guy. Like if he walks into a shop, I want them to be like, oh, that's the guy who stole the tattoo and like threatened a baby. Like I'm not going to let him fill out a consent form and I'm not going to tattoo him here. Unfortunately, like you said, with the mob mentality, everyone jumped on his page and just attacked him mercilessly. And I tried to do everything I could to rein it in and to stop it. And it got out of hand. And before I could do anything, Instagram pulled the post. I did end up reposting it, but I blurred his name out. But at that point, the damage had already been done. And so I took that post down again, you know, and it's something that like I'm learning. But at the same time, that person was not affected by the mob mentality. He show-heartedly, like braggadociously lived into it. Like, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
it can also be hard to tell, too. You know, the way that we externalize a reaction isn't necessarily always the reality of it.
True. I understand that, you know, but I've called out like, you know, scratchers and tattoo schools and they instantly just block me. And they're like, they block anybody that comments on their page or deletes the comments. And this one was such a weird, like deviant from that he just like jumped into the pool head first and was like, you know what? I'm going to play fucking ball. And he was like, here's my money. fuck you. I hate broke bitches. Posting pictures of thousands of dollars. And he's like, damn right, I don't pay for tattoos, you know? So like that was like such a weird difference than like in the past when I've called people out on shit and they've just blocked me and blocked the negativity on their end.
Do you ever feel like a bully?
Sometimes. And I have to like try to remember not to be that person because I don't want to be that, you know?
Yeah.
Like I don't want to be the cause of like somebody getting depressed or like doing something. But at the same time, like I'm also not here to like coddle people's feelings. Like I have a thing on my page that says truth bombs and essentially says, if you're doing some dumb shit and putting photos of it on Instagram, be prepared for it to get shared. You know, if you're scratching at your house and you're tattooing an underage girl and you've posted 30 photos of it on your Instagram, yeah, I'm going to share it because clearly you're not embarrassed or ashamed of what you're doing. And people need to know what you're doing is wrong. Some people think I'm the tattoo police, like because I called out that other tattoo thief, like they had hard evidence that I posted that like he hadn't paid. Like they specifically messaged him. They were like, hey, can you pay for the tattoo? And he was like, fuck you, you're never getting paid. I hope your baby dies. Like all this shit. And then he like posted pictures bragging about the tattoo. Like it's pretty clear what happened in that scenario. But I had another guy that same day that was like, hey, I saw you called out this guy. Can you call out this other dude? Blah, 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 blah. He stole a tattoo from me, you know, 6 months ago and like never heard back. And I was like, do you have any messages that prove this? Do you have a consent form? Like, what do you have as evidence? And he was like, he's a fucking thief. And I was like, I'm not getting involved.
Yeah. So how does it make you feel when people try to turn you into the tattoo police if you're not necessarily looking to be for their situation?
I just shut it down as much as I can. And I've had a few people that just keep like, will keep pestering. And like the one wonderful thing about social media is there's a block button. If I don't want to deal with it, I can hit block.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess my big thing is I know if I had ever submitted a post to you that you put on the page and it got a bunch of attention. And if let's say it was an email from a customer and if that customer saw that email, I'd be pretty mortified, you know, because
it has happened a couple times.
Yeah, that'd be a nightmare to me for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely happened a couple times. I have removed posts in the past because a tattooer has gotten a message from a client and I don't know which way it went, whether they resolved their differences or the client was just hurt by it, but they've asked me politely and explained like, hey, this person reached out to me. I don't really feel comfortable having this post up and I'll gladly pull it down. You know, if it's from the submitter themselves, you know, I've gotten a few times where the scratchers have messaged me and they're like, hey man, that's not cool to like put my shit on blast. I'm just trying to make my money and do my thing because no one will let me in this tat biz. And I'm like, for one, I blurred out your face and I blurred out your name. You're the idiot that posted your damn name in the comments section and was like, why are they putting my photo on blast? So you just opened yourself up to all the idiots on the internet to go now talk shit on you. Second of all, don't do illegal tattoos out of your mom's basement and I won't have to post you on how to not get tattooed.
Do you really care that people like someone like that? Does that really affect you if you know that someone's doing shitty tattoos in a basement?
No, it doesn't affect me, but like, I've had a few posts where like sometimes usually with the scratcher stuff, I post it because like I can't understand why anybody would get tattooed by these people in their hoarder living rooms next to cat shit while a dog's crawling on them with a dirty towel and a gallon of orange soda on the table with 17 years of mail. You know, like it's things like that. Like I'm like, I don't understand the mindset, you know, but at the same time, like going back to like clients like messaging. I experienced it personally with one of my coworkers. When we first started the page, we put up a post about this girl who asked a tattooer at my shop if she could apprentice under him, but she sucked at drawing and wanted to be a tattoo apprentice because her quote unquote future plans for tattoos involved her hands and her neck, and she knew she wasn't going to be able to get a real job. So I put her on blast. I was like, that's not the reason to get into tattooing, is because you want hand and neck tattoos and you're too lazy to like go to and build a career for yourself where you can have those, especially if you can't draw. Well, she messaged my friend and proceeded to yell at him and everything. And I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. I'll take the post down. And he was like, no, leave it up. She's only ever gotten tattooed by me 3 times. She price shops me. She sends me her underage friends. They try to price shop me. I'm not tattooing any of them. She wants me to cover up a good tattoo on her because she doesn't like the color blue. He's like, I don't want to deal with her anymore. He's like, if anything, this is the final nail in the coffin. I hope she never comes back to the shop.
So do you think it's more effective, though, to put someone on blast as because in that situation, you know who the person is. It's not just a stranger sending you an email that they get. If that's something that you're really wanting to tackle or, take on, don't you think it's more effective to just talk to that person directly and that they might actually get more out of it than being exposed for it?
In that scenario, we had talked to her directly and she did not want to listen to us, which is why he was like, post it on the page. Because he was so like at that point, like how I felt when I started the page, he was at that point with her where he was like, I'm about to go off on her. And if I say what I want to say because she's not listening, like we're going to get a bad Yelp review.
So all things considered, is how to not get tattooed good for tattooing?
I think it can be good and bad, honestly, and I feel like as the owner of the page, like, I feel like that's maybe not the stance people want to hear. Like, I definitely feel like there's been times where I've had to take a step back from the page and be like, is this good for like the future of tattooing? Or have I become, Stan's dad on South Park and I've become an internet troll? And at other times I'm like, this is good because now I'm getting people that are messaging me and they're like, oh my gosh, I read all these messages and I knew what not to do. And so I went and talked to my artist and it was the easiest thing ever. And they've gained a client for life. And I'm like, well, that's great. Cause someone that maybe never would have gotten tattooed cause they were too afraid or too socially awkward in this day and age to send a message or to call a shop decided, like, I don't want to be an idiot. I don't want to end up on this page. Maybe I'll just go in and physically talk to someone.
But how many people do you think maybe had the opposite reaction and we just wouldn't know because they're not going to message you?
I'm not sure. And, that's the thing. And that's where I have to step back and go, is this good? Is this bad? At the same time, I haven't, tattooers, feel free if you listen to this podcast to if your shop is all of a sudden become super slow and it happened around the same time as my page, feel free to message me and let me know, do you think this page is having a negative effect on your personal business? Because no one's telling me these things. And so I can't make assumptions or make judgments on something I have no data or information on.
Do you think it makes tattooers look bad?
I think from time there's a few tattooers that have kind of made themselves look bad in the comments. That's on them. I can't control what people write.
Sure.
If you want to hop on your professional page and write some scathing opinion, that's on you. Like, I can't, I'm not your judge, jury, and executioner. I'm a guy who posted a picture. If you want to go onto the comments page and tell everybody that they're a bunch of assholes or dumbasses for wanting, an infinity symbol, then that's on you.
Well, goddamn. I really
I hope I didn't bum you out too much. I'm not trying to bum tattooers out,
Yeah, it's weird. And I appreciate you talking to me about it because I really have felt I've gone back and forth. When I first saw your page, I thought, yeah, this is funny. This is great. As a tattooer, obviously I can relate to everything. I totally see the humor in all of it. Even the tasteless shit I can see the humor in. But then the more I had thought about it, it was just the public nature of it kind of made me feel a little reserved about everything. And seeing people jump in and seeing tattooers that I respect and look up to jumping in, maybe in ways, getting caught up in it a little too much. It really made me think about it.
I definitely feel you, man. I mean, we're all kind of in this crazy boat we call tattooing and we're all on the same ocean. And I totally understand,
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Why I'm like, hey, like tattooers, like if you feel that there's something that needs to change, like write me. Like I can't modify my behavior on the page or change what I do if I don't know it's not working. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but at the same time, like if you all are getting more emails and not Instagram messages, then maybe something's going the right way. I don't really know. Cause again, I started this with no plan whatsoever and with just basically like as much as I like jokingly say like the word safe space, like I needed a place where like I could go and talk to my other tattoo buddies and be like, man, fuck this guy who wants a fucking half sleeve for $50, who won't stop blowing up my phone at 2 in the morning.
Yeah. But I mean, if you think about that person specifically, maybe they just don't know. So, yeah, exactly. So to put them on blast, and now it's, you know, it can be thousands of people just totally shitting on these people. Is that really a constructive way to combat someone who just truly doesn't know? And yeah, maybe they're an asshole, or maybe they're pushy, or, you know, I'm not taking that away from it, but is it the most constructive way?
I don't think all the time it can be. I think sometimes, I think a lot of, I mean, I don't know, maybe because I'm in the tattoo industry, I think a lot of the stuff I post is pretty common sense. Like, you don't ask for a half sleeve and then name the price. Like, you don't go to Best Buy and go, that's a wonderful TV, I'll give you $30 for it. You know, like, it's like the common sense factor that like blows my mind is like everybody treats our industry like it's different than the rest of the world. And when you get down to it, like, I know tattooers are probably going to hate me saying this, but at the end of the day, it's a retail industry. There's a product, and that product has a price. And if you don't want to pay that price, you don't get said product. You know?
Well, it's more like it's more of a service industry where there is a little leeway.
That's a better way to put it. Yeah, because we make the price, and we can be negotiable on it. But at the same time, you're not going to want to tattoo a guy who's haggling you on a fucking sleeve.
Oh, of course not. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Yeah, I guess the question is more just about how. So once that happens, once someone is just shitty about price, what do we do from there? And to me, putting them out to 120,000 people to be ravaged by the fucking tigers. You know what I mean? It just doesn't feel good to me a lot of times.
I feel you on that. I mean, lately, a lot of the posts that I've been posting show that the tattooer has responded in a calm and reasonable way. And usually the response right after that is, fuck you, asshole. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like,
oh, well, people suck, like, for sure.
Yeah. And it's like, when I took, you know, time out of my day at 2 a.m, so in the middle of the night, to respond to your message and be like, hey man, like, it's 120 an hour, like, that's firm, like, come down to the shop, we can talk more details, maybe we can move things around, whatever, blah blah blah, and they go, you know what, fuck you, pencil jockey, yeah, you know what, fuck you too, here's 120,000 people that can go kill you to fuck yourself as well.
Yeah. Yeah, some people certainly deserve it more than others. I'll give you that any day of the week. Isn't the – since this page has taken off for you, haven't you learned so much about the internet that you never knew before?
Dude, seriously.
That's how I feel so much, and I've got like a fraction of the audience, but I feel like I've got such a different opinion on the internet over the past year, 2 years, however long I've been making videos and stuff. It's crazy.
I'm going to be completely honest with you, man. I used to be like the person that was like, I need to post once a day on my personal page. I need to generate content to generate business. And I've gotten to the point with How to Not where I'm so over the internet and people's like, shit. So like, I check my email once a day. I'll check my Facebook Messenger. I have a big thing on my personal page that says, if you send me an Instagram DM, it's not getting answered. Like, you need to email me. At the worst case, you can Facebook me, but I'm still going to tell you to email me. So don't even – like, I don't even check my Instagram DMs on my personal page anymore. But at the same time, like, I barely post now on my personal page. Like, I'll post. If I do a cool tattoo, I'll throw it up. If I'm traveling, I'll throw it up. But I don't need to be on the internet. Like, I don't feel like I need that validation anymore, because I've learned that if I stress out and I'm like, I have to do a fucking portfolio piece every day in order for the internet, and I'm tattooing for the gram, and it's like, I got to get the lighting right, and I got to get the right tattoo, and I got to make sure I do it at, you know, 2:30 so that the lighting's right outside so I can get the photo. And it's like, if you approach it like that, like, that was more stressful almost than running How to Not. Now it's like, I tattoo cool people. I do walk-ins. I do my appointments. If I do something really dope, I'll take a picture of it. I'll post it. I might even post it a week later, because business is still coming in my door, and I don't need that side of the business that I thought I needed so bad 2-3 years ago.
Well, do you think that maybe you're just getting that validation now through the How to Not page?
I mean, maybe, but at the same time, like,
because you're getting like way bigger now, and it's not for your work, but you're getting like a huge surge of validation.
I am, but I'm not, because I also, with that whole validation, I get a whole lot of hate. The hate mail that I post is a fraction of what I get.
Right.
You know, like, I get a lot of people that are just like, fuck you, asshole, with no context. And I'll be like, why? And they'll just be like, cuz. And I'm like, well, fuck you too then. Like, you know. Like, I don't know how to respond to that. Like, I'm literally being like, why do you hate me? tell me, like, maybe did I offend you? Did I do something? Just like I said, like, I can't make assumptions when people aren't telling me what I'm doing wrong. Like, the ones that I post, people are very clear about what they think I'm doing wrong.
It's just, it's endlessly interesting to me what must truly motivate you to do it. Cause it sounds like a chore in every sense. And if you're not getting the fulfillment of putting out something that you've created yourself, like you're tattooing.
I'm fulfilled in my tattooing.
Sure,
and that's
sure.
why I'm saying, like, I don't have to post. I don't need the fulfillment from the internet because I'm fulfilled in real life with
right,
tattooing.
Right. Oh, no, I get that. But what I mean is then what is the fuel to, because it sounds, I mean, after 15 years, you've got tattooing figured out. That's, that you can do that no matter what. So that's not going to be a chore. But this page is like, it's like foreign, it's international waters. It's interesting to me.
I think it's, I've always been like what I call a people watcher in a weird way.
Yeah, me too.
Like I like to sit at a coffee shop when I travel and just observe. And I feel like this is like me observing on the internet. Like, even if I don't like comment in the comments, if I cruise through, I'm like, so this is how people feel, or this is how people think. Like, I don't know what the end game is. There was no end game. I think a lot of this is like this, the quote unquote, like, I guess the reason that makes it worth it for the work is I'm happier at home. I'm happier with tattooing. I'm not yelling at fucking cars on the highway. I'm not freaking out on my kids at the end of the day because I had a shitty client and I don't know how to express that to my 8-year-old that this idiot wanted to price shop me, which is why I couldn't buy his Minecraft video game. I feel like all of that weight has like been lifted from my shoulders by simply, checking Instagram while I'm on the toilet.
I feel like it's got to just be, then you really are getting, you're feeling a sense of validation or confidence boost just from this page, because you have created something regardless of what it is. You've created this thing that's taking off. And that's, I mean, that's an accomplishment no matter what.
It's definitely cool to see it like grow.
Yeah.
I think
the only reason that it would make you feel like this, because you're not even at this point externalizing your own personal frustrations. You're pushing out stuff that you're curating frustrations of others.
Yeah. And I definitely think that, I don't know, maybe part of it, again, like, I've never really sat down and thought about this until you've asked this question. It's just been something that like I wake up and I do and
yeah,
I have
sure.
a good day. And honestly, like, it doesn't offend me that you're unsure with your page. It makes me glad to know that like I'm still walking a tightrope that I still need to figure out, Like, you're the first person that I've really talked to that's been like, do you think this is having like a hardcore negative effect? And here's why I think this. Most people are just like, hey, fuck you, asshole. And I'm like, well, that's not a dialogue. Like, I can't talk to you and figure out why you're offended
right.
by what I'm doing,
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's really important to discuss these things and to consider both sides. And
exactly.
Everyone's entitled to their opinions, obviously, which the internet in general has a hard time accepting. But
I mean, I don't know if you've gotten the vibe, but I'm pretty easy to talk to. And
yeah, absolutely.
I'm not as hard-headed as I think the internet believes I am.
They're just seeing a very small piece of your personality. So one could never know anything about you, which is why it's, I think it's cool that you came on and talked to me about all this stuff. I think it's a lot of valuable information, especially on the topic of tattooing and social media. I don't think there's many people with more of a pertinent opinion and experience, because what you're experiencing is such a new and current, unique kind of thing.
Yeah,
all right, then. Well, thanks so much for doing this. I really do appreciate you coming on and talking about all of it. I think a lot of people are going to be interested. A lot of fans of the page, too, I think, are going to be interested to actually hear about the man behind the curtain.
Ooh, yeah. Do not look at the man behind the curtain.
That's right. That's right. And if we get 100 ratings on this episode, we're going to reveal your identity on next week's episode. So make sure everybody tunes in. Oh, shit. Cliffhanger.
Did you see when I, quote unquote, revealed my identity on April Fool's?
No. What did you do?
So it was April 1st and I posted at like 10 o'clock at night. Like, I didn't do anything all day.
This episode was a bit different. I hope you all enjoyed it. I think it's important to talk about all sides of the story. Not to say I'm not going to put a lot of weight in tattooers that I admire and hearing their stories, because that's the show that I want to make. But I do find the value in everything else too, and it's fun to discuss it, and it's always eye-opening. There's no video component to this week, unfortunately, because these were phone call interviews. But next week, we'll be back with a full video episode with a new guest. Same tat time on that same tat station. Don't forget to leave a rating or a review on iTunes or wherever you get this podcast. I'm Andrew Stortz. You can follow me on Instagram at Andrew Stortz. And thank you for listening.